Good morning, Grace. I'm Pastor Kelly Smithley, pastor of Grace Community Church. Glad you could be here with us this morning. Before we start our sermon this morning, I wanted to have a quick chat with you guys. 2 weeks ago, I was up in Farmington, and I was leading worship up there, and Glenn was leading worship here. It was a fun time together. But when I was up there, one of the things I got to do was talk about Tiger Cafe and what they were doing up there at Tiger Cafe and what the ministry was doing and everything. It was a great time to connect with the church. And so today I wanted to be here and chat with you guys about some of the student ministries that are going on right now at Grace Community Church in Rochester specifically. And so to that end, I'm going to invite up Matt Reed. Matt Reed is our youth director. He's in charge of middle school, high school youth groups, and cafe. Right, here you go. There you go. I think I turned it on for you.
Yeah. Perfect.
And so I wanted Matt to be here. So just a couple things. One, you could get to know Matt. You could kind of get to know what his heart is and what his heart is for ministry, but also kind of what we're doing right now in Rochester, what we're doing with our youth ministries and everything else. So there are multiple ministries that are happening right now at Grace Community Church. And one of them that we have going on is Cafe Red. And Cafe Red is it's a ministry to reach students in the Rochester area, specifically Spalding High School is just down the street right here, and to reach them and to give them a safe place to be, a place to connect with us, a place to feel comfortable, a place to come after school that's not necessarily Christ-focused, but that is a place where we can love on them and show them God's love through just our actions every day. So it's one of the reasons when we saw this church going, this is a great place to have a location right here because of the high school right there, being able to do ministries with the high school students, being able to do local food pantries and be right in the middle of the community so we can be that light of Jesus Christ in the community instead of having to have the community come to us when we come to them. And so it's something we're very excited about and love doing, but I wanted to, you guys hear a little bit from Matt about Cafe Red. Right now, it happens on Thursdays, right?
Yep.
From what times?
2:30 to 5:30.
2:30 to 5:30.
Not
good.
The other one.
All right, perfect. 2:30 to 5:30 on Thursdays. How many kids right now do you have about?
We have upper 20s, 27, 25 average weekly. We've had up to 34.
Okay.
So we've got a pretty good group. And it's just a really amazing program. We have some kids with difficult situations who come, and we get the opportunity to spend time with them and hang out with them and to eat food with them and just be in their lives. We've got kids who have been on the streets for the night, or we've had kids who are dealing with unexpected pregnancies and stuff like that. And we just get the opportunity to stand right there with them and walk them through it and just be a light into their lives. So
it's awesome. This was, like I said, this was one of the reasons we wanted to be in this location, is because the high school is right there, because we're in the middle of the community, because we could be the light of Jesus Christ. And this was one of the reasons that the church not only said, yes, we want to be here, and the church body supported, said, let's get this building downtown, but also when we did the 40-40 challenge, say, yes, we want to see this student ministry come to life. We want to see, have the opportunity to pour into these high school students, pour in the middle school students, pour in these kids' lives. And the reality is, they're not really kids. They're young adults. They're growing adults. And the amazing thing is that they're not really sitting there going, hey, we need to pour into them because they're the future of the church. They are the church right now. They are part of the body of Christ. They have a role to play in this building, in this church, in this community that we want to see them enjoy and see them strive in and see them grow in, that they become more prevalent in what they have. And to do that, and we have a couple different programs that not only reach for Cafe Red, that is reaching kids just to show them the love of Jesus and give them a safe place, but also different programs we have to help kids grow in their faith and everything else. So on Thursday nights, we have what?
We have gig for high school.
Okay.
After Cafe Red. Some of our Cafe Red kids have started coming, which is interesting and fun all at the same time. And they ask some of the most difficult questions. They have some of the most biggest questions that they could ask. And they're just struggling with faith or just life. And, could faith be mine or what does it look like? And we get to be there right with them. And we can't always give them the answers because they need to figure it out on their own. But we get to be part of that process, and it's really amazing. So that program is really, you know, the second program gig is a time where we get to share with them faith. We get to share with them biblical truths, biblical principles that even if they didn't put their trust in faith, can change their life in big ways. Obviously, we want them to come to faith in Christ and change their eternity, but we can also change things in their lives right now. So
it's awesome. So Cafe Red, we are seeing kids that are coming from Cafe Red that are now starting to come to youth group. They're starting to go, not only do we have a safe place to be, but we have a place to start learning about Jesus, and they're interested, they're excited about it. So we have that opportunity at the high school youth group. We also have middle school youth group on Sunday evenings, right? And that's right here, also on Sunday evenings for the middle school.
Correct.
And so it's very similar of how the high school youth group works. Time for them to hang out, learn about Jesus, learn about God, learn about relationships together. But also, Sunday mornings, actually, you may not know, but we have actually a meeting for the youth at 10 a.m. in between service here every Sunday. What is that?
That's Dig In. It's a place for students, typically within the church, but not necessarily, who want to dig a little bit deeper into the Bible. Right now, we're talking about apologetics and really, you know, talking about what faith is and how we can portray that to others and really talk about our faith and grapple with tough questions. So that's what we're talking. That's for middle school and high school. Right now, we're doing that for another 4 weeks. And, I'm excited about that. Also, you know, even things with, like, Cafe Red, like, that can be a place for your teens to be a light in the world. Like, it can be their mission field. It's intended for reaching out to the community, but with those students there, they can set the example. They can show what following Christ really looks like.
That's awesome. Well, I just wanted to really take this opportunity to say a couple things, let you know kind of what we're doing, what our youth programs are doing. And we have some amazing volunteers who are very faithful, who are coming to Dig In, who are doing middle school youth group, high school youth group, Cafe Red. We have some amazing volunteers who really are dedicated and who really care about these kids' lives and what is going on for their personal lives, but for all eternity. But the reality is, especially as a program like Cafe Red, as it's growing, we're seeing they're going around 30 kids. If you only have two or three leaders, it gets tougher and tougher. So we're getting to the point where we're going, we can't grow much more unless we have people that are willing to really just be there with those kids, to show them that they care, to show them that they matter and that we think that they matter, that we care about them. And so this is, I wanted to take this moment to come before the church and say, listen, if you have a heart for kids, and it doesn't mean you have to be like, hey, I'm amazing gifted, I'm a teacher, or anything. It doesn't matter if you're in your 20s, if you're married, if you're single, if you're a grandparent, it doesn't matter where you're at in life. If you sit there and go, I just want to love all these guys. I want to show them that I care. And I want to show them what the love of Jesus really is. I would encourage you to come talk to Matt, to come say, hey, I want to be a part of this. I want to show the community what it means to care, what it means to love. I want to see their lives change and grow. And so Matt is going to be available after service today, and then next week at 12:30 after second service, we're going to have an info time that goes for Tiger Cafe, Cafe Red, our Grace Youth Groups, and Matt will be there, and Shireen will be there, because she does Tiger Cafe, and it's going to be, we're going to be getting together and talking about all the different things and what it means to volunteer, what it means to be in these kids' lives, but what it means to be a part of that, and to see how they grow and see how they change and see how our community is changed as this coming generation changes for life in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to encourage you, if you want to talk, Matt will be back. Will you be back after service today? He'll be back after service today. You can chat with him today, but then next week we're going to have an informational meeting. So I hope you guys, if you're interested, want to come and want to see what that's all about. So thank you very much.
I might even bring pizza.
Oh, there's pizza too. Free pizza. Thank you, Matt. All right. Hey, so I just wanted to take the opportunity. This is something that's close on our heart as a church. It was one of, like I said, the reasons that we really wanted to start, especially those locations, is because it's so close to that school, to reach the kids in this community, to reach the youth that may not have a safe place to go, but may not really know the love of Jesus and to be that voice in their life. So we're really excited about that. We're going to continue today, and we're finishing up our last week in the sermon series, New Beginning. So last week was a little different and a little off. On Saturday night right here, we had a fun time. We had a volunteer fiesta where we were able to kind of celebrate and thank all our volunteers who come on like a weekly basis, who are regularly volunteering, and just pour into this community and this church all the time, week to week. And we wanted to say thank you, and thank you for what you're doing and how you've been part of it. It was a great time. There was lots of, there was some vision, and there was some fun talks, there were some shenanigans. Pastor Glenn and I, we cut the rug pretty well up here, I think. We were dancing like fools to Dirty Dancing songs. It doesn't matter. It's somewhere on YouTube. Don't worry about it. But it was a great time. We had a good time together. And then, just as we finished cleaning up, it started snowing. And we knew the snow was coming. And we knew it was supposed to be snowpocalypse, like 2019, right? It was supposed to be horrible. And what happened? We got like 4 inches of snow in my front yard. That's all we got. There was not, I don't know where, how much it was where you guys. I got almost nothing at my house. And I'm like, well, that was kind of let down. But we heard there may be 2 or 3 feet. So we canceled church and didn't have it, but decided, let's do church online. So we were able to actually, we had the White family who led us in worship, and we had Allie and Dave, and even Addie the dog made a couple, she made some surprise walkthroughs, which were fun. We had a time together where we could worship God, and then when that was over, I was able to come on. We were able to do have service, a sermon, right from my kitchen table. It was great. I had just, you know, I did wear pants and that, just so you weren't like, it's just the top or anything. But I was able to be kind of in a sweatshirt, just comfortable and home, and to be like, I get to share the good news of Jesus with the community as a whole, and we can still get that opportunity to still come together. It was a great time. Even though we didn't have service in this location, Grace Community Church still happened. Why? Because the building doesn't matter. It's the people that matter, and the people that are the church. And so we still had Grace Community Church come together and have this time together as a family. And last week, in case you didn't see it online, in case you didn't see the sermon, it was called Beyond the Fear. Beyond the fear of this idea that, okay, we were dead to sin, we've become alive, right? Getting out with the old, you were restored in Christ, and now you can live beyond the fear. This idea that we have no cause for fear anymore. And we still have fear of things like, you know, boiling water and stuff you need to be aware of. But we have no fear for our eternal life. We have no fear of punishment. We have no fear of discipline from God because of our sin. God has completely redeemed us. We no longer have to fear God. We can stand before the Father knowing we are seen as righteous because of Jesus Christ. That because of the love of Jesus Christ inside of us, because of his gift of salvation, we are seen righteous before the Father. And we have no reason to fear him. We have nothing to fear in this world or in all eternity. So we are coming now to this final week, the final week in the sermon series, and it is entitled Transformed. It's this idea of being transformed in Christ Jesus. That going through this whole progression from the very beginning of your faith into a transformed person, into the likeness and in the image of Jesus Christ. And so this week, instead of telling a lot of stories and stuff, I actually just kind of want to dig into the Bible and really look at what it says about being transformed. Look at what Paul says about us being transformed in our lives. So we're going to be looking at Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. It says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." I love this verse, and I love that Paul writes this, because Paul, here's the great thing about Paul. Paul was a person who knew intimate knowledge of the Bible, who was taught and had studied it and knew what was going on, knew the Old Testament, knew all the different things that were there and could completely understand it. And then God touched his life. Jesus met him on the road and totally transformed him to the point where he now understood that Jesus was God and come again. And because of that, he's able to pack so much theology into like 2 sentences that it's ridiculous. He was the theologian. He understood what it meant to have a relationship with God. So today, we're just going to unpack those two sentences. We're just going to look at what it means and what they really mean for our lives. So we're going to start right in verse 1. He said, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Think about that for a second. We're supposed to give our bodies to God because of what he's done for us. Now, I don't know when you read the Bible, kind of how you look at it or how you understand it or what your thought process is, if you're just reading or if you're trying to find themes. But there is a huge theme throughout the entire Bible that is there in every step of the way. It is never us doing something and God reacting. It's never we do something, God says, okay, now I'll be in your life. It is always God working first. God does something, and because of that, we can react to him. And that's talking about that right here. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you, that God has already done for us. So it's the idea that we offer ourselves to God because of his mercy. Because of his mercy in our lives. Now this idea of mercy is understanding that God does something for us even though we don't deserve it. It's not because we were so great. Hey, I did A, B, and C, so woohoo, God gives me a gift. No, God has mercy on you going, you don't deserve it. I'm giving it to you anyways because it's what you need. So this idea of we offer ourselves to God because of his mercy for us first. See, we are sinners, plain and simple. We are sinners, we were sinners, and there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. There's not one thing we can do to save our own soul. We can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I'm good to go now. We are sinners, and sin equals deathly consequences. It means physical death, but it also means spiritual death. There's a real consequence for sin, and it is death. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even though we were still against God and we were his enemy because we chose to disobey, we chose to go against him, we chose to offend him, we're still sinners, yet God died for us. He took our punishment and condemnation. This word condemnation is a harsh word. It means you've been put before the jury. You've been accused of something, you've been found guilty, and now you've been condemned to death. And there's no way out of it. It's not, hey, you can still plead. No, you've been condemned to death, it's done. You have condemnation in your life, it's over. And yet he took that. He took our deathly punishment and that condemnation and said, you're no longer condemned to death. It is an act of grace and an act of mercy on the part of our Savior. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. He gives it to us anyways. And it's our motivation to offer our lives to God because of all of that. To realize that if God created me and he died for me and I don't deserve any of it, because of his mercy, I want to offer my life to God for all eternity, for right now, for every moment in this world, because what he's already done for me. Everything in this world is God doing something for us and us responding to that. Responding to what God's done already for us. And it's out of his mercy that we offer our lives to God. And that's what Paul is saying there. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. All he's done for us. He goes on in the second half of verse 1 to say, let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Let your life be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Let your body be a living and holy sacrifice. See, this idea of sacrifice would have been something that we kind of understand, but would have been something the people of that day and age really understood, the idea of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it talks over and over again that God set up this, he set up the law and he set up this different way that people could be made right with God by having a sacrifice, giving a sacrifice to him of either an animal like a dove or a lamb or something like that. And that sacrifice would pay the blood debt for the sin you had committed. Because remember, the price of sin is death. And so something had to die. There had to be a sacrifice to atone for that sin. It was something that everyone understood. There has to be a sacrifice to cover this sin. But Paul says here, that's the old way. Let your life be a living and holy sacrifice. It's no longer, I need to sacrifice something that dies so to cover that up. It's that sin has already been covered. That payment has already been paid. That debt is gone. Now that it's gone, be a living sacrifice, continuing to offer yourself to God, continuing to give yourself over, not dying for him, not being a martyr, but to live for him, to live for God with your life, a living and holy sacrifice. So we should offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice of worship in all we do, a living sacrifice of worship to our God. That word sacrifice there, we just talked about a little bit. But it's interesting, that word there, the word for sacrifice is physion. And there's different ways you can conjugate the verb and stuff. But the general idea behind a sacrifice is this. It means an offering. Something's being offered up. You're taking something and giving it over and handing it over and offering it up to someone else. In terms of God, it's something you're giving over to God and offering to him. It's an official sacrifice prescribed by God. This word here doesn't mean just to give up something. It means God has said this needs to be done, and so you're choosing to give that sacrifice because of what God's done. So hence, it says this, that an offering, this sacrifice is an offering the Lord accepts because it was offered. In the Old Testament, offering on his terms was how you had to set up a certain way. You had to make sure that the lamb was without blemish. You had to make sure that the doves were a certain kind. You had to do all these things. And it was offered on God's terms to atone for certain payment that you needed to pay. But now, it's a living and holy sacrifice with our lives continuously in this day and age and this time. And it's still offered on his terms. It means we need to sacrifice our lives and give to him in all we do. And that sacrifice needs to look the way God wants it to look. It says that it's supposed to be the kind that he will find acceptable. And this is the only true way to worship him. An acceptable sacrifice to God. Well, this acceptable sacrifice, God tells us what he wants us to look like. Of serving instead of being served. Of caring for others. Doing to others as we would do to Christ. Of loving them. Of caring for them. Of helping our neighbor. Of caring for widows and orphans. Of loving the Lord our God more than anything else. And then loving your neighbor as yourself. God shows us how to live that living sacrifice. That giving. That caring in our lives. The way he wants us to do it. The beautiful thing is, it no longer has to pay that debt. That debt's been paid. This is now as a holy sacrifice to God as we're offering it up because we thank him for that reward that he's given us already, which is his mercy and eternal life. And so it's offering it up to him as a continual sacrifice. And it's based on what God has already done for us, based on already what he's done. Paul continues in verse 2 to say this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is the idea that we offer ourselves to God by letting him transform us. Notice that. It's not that you need to transform yourself or you need to renew yourself. The words are real clear. Let God transform you into a new person. Let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. That's God acting in our lives. The beautiful thing about all this whole thing about salvation and everything is that God gives us a choice. He gives us free will. He says, you can choose to love me. You can choose to accept the gift. It is freely given if you accept it. And he allows us to. He allows us that choice. But then once we accept that, we just have to let God continue to work in us. We have to let God continue to work in us. He's knocking on the door saying, look, hey, there's this thing we need to work on, and you know, and it's eating you up. You're like, I know, but I like doing it because I'm me, and I like that. And God says, let me fix you. Let me take this hurt away. Let me be the great surgeon that cuts that out so you no longer have that wound in your life that's festering and hurting. Let me transform you and renew you. See, there's a really interesting thing that's going on here where Paul's talking about this idea of to transform and to be renewed. And it's a different idea than being saved and being a Christian. Because we have there's some kind of churchy words we have sometimes, but that are important to understand as well. Because they, in these couple words, they show a lot of what's going on. The first word, when most people think of this whole idea of accepting God and everything, is this: salvation or justification. Being justified means you've been delivered from the power and penalty of sin, being pardoned and seen as righteous. This is the idea that when you go from you were dead spiritually to accepting Christ in your life, something happens immediately. You are saved and you are justified. You were delivered from the power of pain, or from the power and penalty of sin. You have been pardoned, and now you are seen as righteous because the righteousness of Jesus now shows in your heart before God the Father. You are seen as righteous, and it's instantaneous. It's done. You accept his gift. You are justified by faith. You are changed because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a one-time thing, and it goes boom, and it's done. But God doesn't end there. God doesn't say, okay, hey, woo, you're on my team, and then walks away and goes, who's next? That's not how it works. Once he saves you, once he pardons you, once he justifies you, he begins the next step in your life, which is a lifelong process called sanctification. And sanctification means this: to make holy, to be set apart for God, and to change us into the image of Christ. This is what Paul's talking about right here. That you are being transformed and your mind being renewed as you're being set aside for God, as you're being made holy, and as you are changed into the image of the person who saved you in the first place. The idea of sanctification is huge because it is changing who we are. It is just what we talked about before, going, you've been saved, now you throw off the old, and we're talking about now putting on the new. And it's very clear how this works out in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. You have been stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. This is sanctification. Getting rid of the old. Changing your mind. Letting God renew you so you become more like Him in the image of Jesus Christ. And then Philippians 4 says this: finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. This is your new mind. That as God works in you and he changes your mind and he transforms you, he's getting you away from that old, and this is becoming the new, thinking on things that are pure, that are just, that are lovely, that are excellent. Excellent in all things. This is the mindset God wants you to have, a mind focused on him, where you have these things at the forefront of your mind, where you're transformed and renewed in him. And when you're transformed and renewed in him, you see the world differently. And it means you change how you live in the world, because you see it more and more through God's eyes as you become more and more in the image of him. When you see it more through God's eyes, you can sit there and go, I understand how even though he was beaten and hurt, he died for me because of his great love. I understand that even though I may be mocked or even though those things happen, I can still love, and I can still be thankful, and I can still have all those things because of the love of Jesus in my life. You start seeing the world through God's eyes as you become the image of Christ. Paul finishes up this whole thing by kind of wrapping up and says, and this is what will happen. Says the end of verse 2, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. As our lives are transformed, as our minds are renewed, we will learn to know God's will for us. That can be a tough one because I sat there before and went, you know, hey, God, if you just tell me what to do, I'll do it. I just need you to kind of speak in my ear, tell me what you got for me, and then I'll move forward. And I'm a person who I've never audibly heard the voice of God speaking in my ear. I've heard him, felt him nudging me and leading me and pointing me in different directions, but I've never heard God say, hey, this way. I've never heard that. In fact, I'm a person who's jumped around a lot. I mean, I started out and used to work for Coca-Cola, and I made doors in a factory, and I joined the military. I got my associate's degree in Arabic studies, and then I started working for the shipyard, and oh, yeah, I worked for solar, and then, oh, guess what? I'm a pastor doing solar on the side. I've gone around and done a bunch of stuff. Started out getting my degree in chemical engineering. I've been a jumping around mess going, I don't know where I'm supposed to be because I wasn't really sure who I was supposed to be. What I was supposed to do. And the more I learn about Christ and Him transforming me and renewing me, the less it is about where I'm at or the job I do or anything like that. The more and more I realize, is Christ inside me? Am I being the living image of God? And going, I want to have God's will in my life. God's will, even though you may not hear it, is laid out really clear for you. It's laid out really clear. If you jump to Jeremiah, God's will in our life, in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. 1 Timothy says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live in peaceful, quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Thessalonians says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. See, the will of God is laid out pretty clear in the Bible. It's laid out pretty clearly for us. And once you start putting it together, you start seeing the will of God is some amazing stuff. The will of God is for you to prosper. That doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean you'll drive a Jaguar. It doesn't mean you'll have a mansion. What it means is you're going to prosper in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to prosper in this world as His adopted child. That's prosper. That's letting God's love flow in you and through you. That He will give you hope. You have hope that you sit there and don't go, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world around me. I know I've got hope in Jesus Christ because He is steadfast and strong and truth and love in every situation. I have hope for a future that's with God for all eternity, a future where God is working through my life and in the lives of others. God's will is that everyone is saved, that not one of us goes astray, that He doesn't lose one of us to evil. He allows us to make that decision ourselves. He allows us to choose to accept His gift. But it's His will that everyone be saved, that everyone comes to Him, that everyone understands the truth, that everyone knows what it means to have the love of God. We are joyful. That doesn't mean always happy. That you have to put a smile on your face and that everything's going perfect. It means no matter what is going on, that you have joy in your heart because you know that God is greater than anything else. You have joy in your heart knowing that the Creator of all still holds you in His hand even when everything else is falling apart. God's will is that we pray, that we communicate with Him, that we have conversations with Him, that we reach out to Him. His will is that we are thankful in every situation. We've talked about that before. Not for the situation, but in the situation. That we can continue to lean on God in all we do. God wants to transform and renew your mind. If you've given your life to Christ and you went from being dead to alive, you went to throwing out the old, to being restored to something that was more beautiful and awesome than you could have ever imagined, and that you can live beyond that fear and it's no longer part of you because you know you've got faith in Christ and salvation in Christ, then now is the time to be transformed, to be renewed, to let God work in your heart, to change who you are, to change the image of yourself into more and more the image of Him, to allow God. That's what really this series wraps up as. That a new beginning with Christ is just that, it's a beginning. But that it's something that continues on the rest of your life. As you continue to be sanctified, as you continue to allow God to transform you, you become more and more like Him. More and more you are in His image with the righteousness of God being seen on who you are. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, God, it can be difficult sometimes, difficult to give up, sometimes hand those things over to you and let you transform us, let you renew us. But God, if we are truly in you and you are truly in us, I pray, God, that we would let you change our hearts, change our minds, renew our minds, transform us into something that is in your image, God, that we are set us apart, a holy people for you. Lord, there may be some people in here today, they're sitting there going, I want that. I don't want to be where I've been. I want to have more of God in my life. I want to be the image of God. I want His delight to shine in me and shine through me. I no longer want to have the fear and the malice and the spite and all these problems in me. I want to be the living image of you, God. Lord, I pray you would put on their hearts right now. It's such a simple prayer. There's someone sitting here, God, and they're wanting that transformation. They're wanting that renewal. God, they would just say these simple words to you. God, change me. God, change me to be more like you. Transform me into your image, God. And Lord, as they say those words, that you would start lighting up their life on the inside of you. You would become a fire that burns inside them. That finds all the areas that need to continue to work on, God. And as the great physician, you would cut them away and you would start healing them. And start allowing them to be effective in your kingdom, God, as you use them for your glory. Letting them know that there is peace and comfort, joy, and hope. Pray that every single one of us would want to be more and more like you. Transform more and more in your image. And as a church, we would want to be that transformed image of you, God. A light to this community. A light to the world. Be your hands and feet as we go out. As your adopted.